Turn our Bibles, and we're going to talk about the cleansing of the temple. Turn your Bibles with me around to Revelation chapter 12. And some of you who have the light, we read from verse 7. And remember, we are free to ask questions and to even get excited over God's word. Praise be to God. Chapter 12, verse 7. Go ahead.
And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels waged war. And they were not strong enough, and there was no place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him.
Praise God. Now, what translation do you have?
The American Standard.
American Standard. I always say the American Standard is the best thing next to the King James, but it still has a lot of water in it. This is the stronger statements are in the King James. But anybody has another translation beside American Standard? You got an Amplified? Yes. Now read those verses in the Amplified. Let's see what it says.
Okay. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels going forth to battle with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they were defeated, and there was no room found for them in heaven any longer. And the huge dragon was cast down and out, the ages-old serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, he who is the seducer, deceiver of all humanity, the world over. He was forced out and down to the earth, and his angels were flung out along with him.
Yeah, well, that didn't add anything. In other words, I would rather to hold on to my King James in those verses. What we are hearing, that there was war in heaven. We are seeing a scene. The scene started with the travail of the woman, the church. So if the scene started with the travail of the church, then it simply means that it couldn't have been in heaven where God lived at that future time past, millions, maybe millions of years ago, before man was born. It could not be that we are talking about. We're talking about a present time when the woman, the church, is in travail. You see, when Satan was cast out of heaven, there was no church. No human beings were made yet. Amen. Because when Adam was in the garden, Satan was also in the garden. See? And that casting out did not happen after Adam. And I can give you a proof from the Word of God. In Genesis chapter 1, and in the very first verse, it said, in the beginning, what? God created the heaven and the earth. The next phrase is a revelation. It says, and the earth became formless and void. The scripture says that all things that God made, it was good. So God didn't make the earth bad. God made the earth pretty, a garden, beautiful, good. And he made the earth specially for man, whom he would make afterwards. But something happened between in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the next phrase, and the earth became void. And he said it became hell. The word in the Hebrew is translated the abyss, is the word for hell or the bottomless pit. Did you know that? Oh yes. So it said, and the Word became the bottomless pit. The earth became the bottomless pit. Haya, in the Hebrew, which it is the verb to be, translated was. See, you see how easily somebody could make a mistake in that translation. Instead of translating it, it became. He said it was. See, but it became shows that it was not in that form at the beginning. But something happened and caused the earth to become hell or the abyss. And so the devil and his angels were down here before Adam. Amen. So when God put the garden and made it pretty again, and Adam came down, so Satan decided to destroy it again. Because he's the destroyer. And then, but this situation here that we're reading in Revelation is the woman travailing, the church in travail, bringing forth the man child. And then war break out between God sent down Michael. Because you see, there is a time, I don't know if you remember, when Israel was in bondage in Babylon, that God sent Michael the archangel down to deliver a message to Daniel. When Michael gave the message to Daniel, when Michael set the angel free, Gabriel free, to give the message to Daniel, it was the blood of Jesus Christ that Michael used to destroy the power of Satan over Daniel. Now, Daniel got the message, and when Daniel read the message out, it was a message for us. You remember that? You know, sometimes you don't say yes or amen and you fall asleep. Amen. So sometimes you must say yes, amen, and then you won't fall asleep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we go then back to this word, and we see a cleansing here of the heavenlies. Now, you ask yourself the question, where is the heaven that there is war? Because we know that God's heaven, he says there is peace, there is joy, there is happiness, there is no night there, for God is the light, and there is all glory up there in that heaven. There is no war. So when the Bible said there is war in heaven, it's going to be another heaven he's talking about. You see, because God has more than one heaven. And what is the word heaven meaning? Can anybody tell me what you would say it means? Heaven.
A state or a realm.
God's dwelling place.
Of peace and righteousness.
Where God lives. Heaven is a dwelling place of God. Now, take your Bibles then for me and turn to 1 Corinthians. Praise God. 6. And somebody read the 16th verse for me.
Do you not know that he who joins himself to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two shall become one.
Oh, sorry. Go down to 19.
Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? You are not your own.
Yeah, we are the temple of the living God. Now look at 2 Corinthians 6 now. And hit that 16th verse for me. Do you notice what happened here? It is 6:16. 2 Corinthians 6:16. 1 Corinthians 6:19. I said 1 Corinthians 6:16. Okay. That, you can remember your Bible by remembering it like this. It was just a twist in my memory, see? Amen. 2 Corinthians 6:16. Somebody hit that for me.
And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my
people. And they shall be my people. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Now, if you let's read some more. Ephesians 2:21. Huh? Somebody get that for me?
In whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into the holy temple of the Lord?
Yes. In verse 22.
In whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit.
Now, if you notice, the parts that make the temple are stones. And he says, you are the lifeless stones. And in each part, the Spirit of God dwells in each part. But in the whole, the Spirit of God dwells in the whole. All of us make a temple of God. And yet you are a temple within yourself. See, in other words, God not only dwells in us, but he dwells in our midst.
Praise
so, praise be to God. Now, to crown it all, praise God, we turn to Hebrews 8. And this Hebrews 8 comes from Jeremiah 31:33-35, and it comes from Ezekiel, and all the things that you read in your New Testament are quotations from the Old Testament. Amen. So you're going to read this quotation now, as put out by Paul, in verse 10. Yes, verse 10. Somebody.
This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Praise God. So now you see, he's putting them in, he's putting his laws into our temple, into our minds. I never forget what happened when I said to Jesus, but I don't see anywhere in the Bible that the Lord said, that the Bible says, living waters shall flow out of your bellies. You see, I was looking for the word belly. And I couldn't find out anywhere that living waters was flowing out of anybody's belly. Because Jesus said in John chapter 7, verses 38-39, that out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living waters. Then Jesus came into my room and I went and asked him the question. It was a real foolish question. And he turned me to Ezekiel 47. And he said, out of the temple will flow rivers of living water. And this living water is going to make such a glorious stream, river flowing, that it's going to flood the whole earth. See? So you are the temple of the living God. Now, if we can come to that conclusion, we will see what's happening over in Revelation then. That the temple, that Michael the archangel is casting the devil out of the temple of God. See, and he called it God's heaven. Fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was there found any more in heaven. The great dragon was cast out. Now, if you look at that revelation, and just put your eye over to the next chapter, and somebody read the first verse for me.
Revelation?
Yes. First verse.
13?
Yes.
And he stood on the sand of the seashore. And I saw a beast coming out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads. And on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names.
Now, here we are. We just finished talking about the dragon here. And we notice that here is a beast coming. They call him a beast here. And this beast had 7 heads and 10 horns. But if you look in Revelation 12, you'll see that it is the same beast that stood up before the woman to devour her child, and he took his tail and pulled down the stars of heaven. His tail flashed around and pulled down the stars of heaven. If you are going to fight with an alligator, watch out for the tail. That's the part that's going to get you. See, if you miss the teeth in front and you jump around, the tail is going to swish around and get you. And this is the kind of thing that God was showing, that Satan took his tail and pulled down the stars. Now, what do you think about that? Do you think that them stars sitting up there in heaven one day are going to be just Satan going to wrap his tail around Venus and you know, some of these stars and just whoosh, pull them down on us? Huh. So you're getting spiritual, eh? You don't think that's what's going to happen. So what's it saying? What is it saying? It's saying that the men of God are called stars all through the Bible. And it's saying that in our time, you're going to see a lot of these high, powerful men of God fall to the ground. Spiritually become carnal. That's what it means. And this is what we are seeing in our time. A lot of them become carnal. One brother said that God told him that every one of you should give him $240. See what I mean? You know, it's peculiar that God told him that. And so many of us having problems, and God didn't tell us how much you must give us. See what I'm saying? I am saying that the stars are being pulled down to the earth by this beast. And who is the beast then? Well, go down to verse 9 we just read. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called what? The devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. But then, after you read in chapter 13, it made a peculiar statement here. It said, it says that the dragon gave his power to the beast. Did you see that? Where is that? Verse 2. And at last, and the dragon gave his power and his seat and great authority. See, to this beast. Now, what do we mean by that? We mean that the world systems coming together in a one world government is going to have Satan as their head. All the power of Satan will be in these governments. And this is what we have to face. Now, the worst part of it is that the thing is also in us. Oh yes, the thing is also in us. I see a lot of divorces going on, and I see divorces also in the church. You see, I don't know. I'm not saying that some people don't have to divorce. I'm not saying that, because I wouldn't be foolish enough to say that. Some people have to divorce because they're married to the devil. No, it's for you to go decide. And I'm not putting that in your mouth at all, because some people, when they want to divorce, they say, hey, they're married to the devil. And it's not true. But I mean that those who Satan himself made a covenant with and got one hitched up with a careless child of God. Because let me tell you something. Those of you who face in marriage, you better make sure that you marry your partner, that one that God has provided for you, because there is one that you can love that God didn't provide for you at all. Amen. Amen. And two good people can wreck their lives by getting married. You know that. And the person you marry don't have to be such a beast. He just have to be not your partner. Amen. And just somebody you can't, you could never live with and work in peace with. And so God has a number one choice for everybody. Amen. And God has a number two choice. Mm-hmm. And sometimes a number three. But the devil has a number one. And the devil's number one is always rivaling God's number one. Always look more flashy. Always look more attractive. Amen. And unless you're in the spirit, you'll never see God's choice. So there is a battle against us, and the battle starts in here. That is why God, the scripture said that he is going to cleanse our minds. You remember that? He's going to cleanse our minds. And he said he's going to pour out his spirit in our hearts and in our minds. Now, looking then at the story that we're looking at here, is that the time has come. I will not say the time will come. And I will not say the time is coming. I am saying that the time has come for the cleansing of the temple of God.
Amen.
For you see, Jesus Christ is coming in his temple. All those who know the scripture for that, raise your hand. Mm-hmm. See, so you're not stuck. Oh, give me that scripture. Give me that scripture.
Behold.
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute now.
Oh, yes. All right. I tell you where it is. It's in Malachi 4 and 2.
Come to his temple.
Malachi 3. Yes. Okay. But I'm going to give you another one in the New Testament. Where is it, mate?
I think it's the last one.
No, I think it's Ephesians.
Malachi
3, 1. You read that, and 4:2. We're going to have Bible study now. Somebody get that one for me.
Malachi 3:1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me.
Yes.
The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in.
Now,
behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts.
Yes, and shall not tarry. There is a one in the read 4:2 there. Oh, verse 2.
Behold, I will send my messenger.
The one you're looking for, May, is in 1 Thessalonians 1. I believe. Come, let's find that. Because that says the same thing. Many people don't know that Jesus Christ is coming in his temple.
What's that scripture again, Cecil?
That he's coming in, when he come to be revealed in his saints. When he shall come.
Where is it?
2:1:10. Yeah, that's better.
Oh. When he comes to be glorified in his saints.
Is that
gives the 2 weeks of those who shall be punished and those who shall be glorified.
Read that for us. Somebody read it with the context.
Start with 9.
No, you have to start with
8.
With 7.
And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe. Because our testimony among you was believed in that day.
Let's hear the American Standard. In that last 10th verse.
When he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day, and to be marveled among all who have believed, for our testimony to you was believed.
Let us hear the testimony of the Amplified, brother.
When he comes to be glorified in his tent.
Yes.
When he comes to be glorified in the saints, that is, on the day he will be made more glorious in his consecrated people, and he will be marveled at and admired in his glory reflected in all who have believed, who have adhered to, trusted in, and relied on him. Okay. Because our witnessing among you was confidently accepted and believed in your lives.
See, all the translations agree, and there's nothing else for them to do because they're written in the Greek, that he is coming to be glorified in his saints. Amen. Amen. Now, if we believe this, then we are going to be preparing for the coming of Jesus within us rather than for the rapture. Amen. See what I mean? This is the preparation that we need to make for the coming of Jesus within us. You won't pass that and go make a preparation for a time later, because something else, other things are going to happen. For instance, Jesus is coming on this earth to walk again like a man. Did you know that? Oh yes, Jesus, we're going to see him with our natural eyes, and natural people are going to see Jesus walking the earth again. But they're going to see more than that. They're going to see you walking like Jesus. They're going to see glorified human beings walking also up and down in the earth. But because of this, then, we need to prepare the temple. The time of preparation, when the temple must be cleansed. And for Christ's sake, I'm begging you, brethren, regardless of what you do, get that temple cleansed. Oh yes, get that temple cleansed and learn how to keep it clean. A simple thing. A lot of us have found among the Christian women and men that sometimes we like to hear news. We like to hear about people's business. And we would dig into, I know Christians have go as far as opening other people's letters to see their business. See? Amen. They get into your drawer, they have to read everything. Amen. They're coming around, they have to read everything, see everything you have, your private letters. They want to see, they want to know about you. That's a demon. You know what? You should want to know as least about the other person as necessary. Because the more you know, the more trouble you are in. Oh yes, if you know I'm a thief, you're going to have to help me out of it. You can't go to your bed and rest, hallelujah, and say I'm free, and yet you know that your brother is a thief. You have got to get him delivered from that spirit, because that's how God make up the body. It's like you get a cut here, and the heart says, I don't business with it. Not my business, you know. And the heart knows that you get a cut here, and it's not sending down any extra fluids to give you healing. But God is saying to us, know as little as is necessary about other people. Yes. I met this brother, and the Lord told me, this is the man to work with us. And I know that the brother is of God, just the Spirit of God that works in him. I know it. I didn't want to know about him. I never asked him anything else but his name. I don't know anything about the man but his name. I don't know what he used to be. I don't know what. I only know that God's using him, and that's all I care about. See what I mean? Because God clears you up, and your past is buried forever. Why should I go dig up in your past when I don't need it? See? And this is the kind of thing that anything that you're going to hear about anybody, and it's not going to help that person in the Lord, you don't need to hear it. And if you're foolish enough to listen to it, you're in trouble. You've got to go right to the person and try to start healing him, help his healing, or do something about it. But you cannot sit down on it once you know that thing about that person. See, praise be to God. So we're talking about the cleansing of the temple. And God said, your bodies are the temple of the living God. And Jesus Christ is descending. Now come on, listen, hear me. I didn't say he's going to descend. Right now, Jesus is coming in the temple.
Amen.
Praise God. You understand why the scriptures speak of parousia, the arrival, and speaks of Jesus as coming? Coming, because it's a continuous thing that's happening. He's coming nearer into your mind, into your emotions. He's taking over different parts of you as soon as you give him. And one day, come, it's going to be. There's going to be a breakthrough in the human realm. And all those who are ready, he's going to come suddenly in you, and you will be just like Jesus Christ. Amen. Sitting down in your same body, looking the same way, and it's going to deceive a lot of people, because they will not know that Jesus Christ has come in you in his fullness. Don't you understand what we are talking about? And so this is the work that Michael is doing. Before this happens, you have to cast every evil thing out of you. If you are used to thinking evil thoughts about people, cast it out. Go to God with it and say, God, I am opening up this area for you to minister to my mind. For my mind is yet corrupt. My mind is still thinking evil about people. Praise God. You know, I went to India, and first time I was shocked to see the Indian men stark bond naked walking on the street. Just walking naked on the street, working naked, sweating all over, nobody noticing. So I said to the Indian brother, I said, what's that? What? They said, he's a workman and he's working and nobody notices him. See what I'm saying? And a woman couldn't do that. According to India, she has to be covered up from her head to her feet. But a man could do it. So it's the way they think. God's going to get your mind into such a way of thinking that a person could pass you naked and it wouldn't make any difference. God is going to get that mind under God so much that only the spiritual things of God will move through your mind. And the mind, therefore, is he said he will plant his law in your mind. Remember? Paul explaining the word, expounding the word, he said, God will plant his law in your mind and in your inward parts. I mean to say, your innermost soul. You'll wake up out of your sleep speaking the words of God.
Praise
Hallelujah.
God.
Now, the emotions then, it's another seat of Satan, a place where Satan dwells. Have you ever watched a person get mad?
Yes.
It's funny, huh? Their eyes stare out and they start to agitate. And can you imagine what happens inside of that body? What happened in that body? The person just all of a sudden get mad, and immediately his whole metabolism is changed. His body, his heart is pumping more blood, and some hormones seem to get into his whole being. He begins to tremble, and you stand up and you look at it and you marvel at it. A spirit. He allows a spirit to get into his emotions. And the spirit is agitating his emotions, and through his mind it's run. I remember when I used to get mad, you know what used to run through my mind? How to kill you and how to do it quickly. Oh, I was just seeing the death of the person and just fighting against how to do it. But I know exactly what to do and how to kill the person. That's exactly what the devil was telling me. So I know what it is to be demon possessed. Yes. And to be oppressed with devils. And I'm saying that to some degree, now this is the part that you're going to be against me for. You ready for it, or should I go around the mountain some more? This is the part that to some degree most Christians have some devil. What a silence. Oh yes. Let me explain to you how you know when a devil, sometimes a devil doesn't want to be cast out, so he's very quiet. He does his thing and he's very quiet. You know you have a devil when you do something and you hate it. You don't want to do it, but you're still doing it. See, when you have a compulsion, something that causes you to do something, you don't like it, you hate it, but you still do it, then it means that there is a devil there. Now, the devil can be anywhere. It can be in your flesh, in your mind, or in your emotions, in your desires. You go down the street and you see certain things, and boy, you must have it. Oh yeah, I know people who have emotional devils. That they just, certain men, they see certain women and they just gone over them, and they will have 20 women and they still want more, and they have no use for them. They just want to capture them. It's a spirit, a demon that is motivating them. And so these demons that occupy human beings are disembodied spirits that are looking for a body. They cannot function outside of a body. They are in torment, they are in hell, they are in the abyss. And you remember when Jesus Christ met the demoniac, what happened with him and the demoniac? The demoniac came out, first of all, to tear him to pieces, because this was a spirit, these spirits were spirits of violence that wanted to kill and tear them apart. They chained that man with chains that would hold a car, and he just busted the chains. You ever had to handle a madman? Anybody here ever had to handle a madman? Thank you.
Yes, we've seen lots of times in the hospital.
Okay. Were 10 men able to hold him?
No, nobody can hold him.
Sure. I've seen 10 men hold a madman, and he just throw them, like toss them away like sticks. Amen. And a little woman like Marie, she, about 7 brothers tried to hold her, and they held her down, and she pulled back her legs. One brother was holding the ledge, and a big, hefty 200-pound brother hold down his legs, you know, and he thought she couldn't move. She pulled him in with the legs and shot him out across the room and slammed him against the wall, knocked the breath out of him. It wasn't he. It was the spirits that dwell in her. So, and coming back to the thought that we were on, is that there are spirits that we encourage in our lives. And I'll tell you, first of all, you identify him. Secondly, to get rid of him, you have to repent. Yes. Because there's a reason why you had him in the first place. I used to have my spirits of violence because it made you feel good. How would you like to know you walk down the street and nobody will touch you? Nobody, everybody's afraid of you because you're going to kill them, and nobody wants to be killed. See, don't you think it's power? And that I found out that this was my protection. I would go into any place, any hour of night, like a person who was impervious to any form of fear. I never knew what fear is. I could never be afraid, but I could get angry. The things that would happen to other people to make them afraid and fear, it would make me angry. And when I got angry, everybody has to run. And that was the key to it. You see, the devil held me with that because I wanted that. See, I wanted that. And strange enough, there are other things that the devil holds people to. See, compulsive eating. That's what fasting does for you. It breaks the power of compulsive eating in you. You feel like you're going to die. There's a thing called habit hunger. You ever tried to fast? You ever tried to fast? Mm-hmm. Yes. And when habit hunger hit you, your breath start get short and you feel like you're leaving this world, you're going to die. Well, that's what we call withdrawal. It's not real hunger. It's not real hunger. You could live on the fat alone that is stored in your body. You can live on it for several days without eating. Mm-hmm. Your body is still feeding. It's feeding on the fat. But there's a thing named habit hunger that when midday comes, I mean, you feel like you chew iron. Yes. Hunger hit you and you're going to die. And you pass it over. And at 2 o'clock, you don't feel hungry again. But look out. It's coming back at your dinner time. Zeroing on you. And you're hungry again. And after you hit him, bam, 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 at 3 days, habit hunger leaves you. And you feel so peaceful. You see, when you reach 7 days, you feel, I'll never eat again in my life. Feel so good. See, you feel a little weakness, but you feel good. You don't want, you know, and then your stomach begin to shrink. Your stomach begin to get smaller, and you feel comfortable. And I want you to know that there's no way you're going to win some of the things Jesus said, come it not out, but by prayer and fasting. I don't know why I'm pressing on fasting so this time, but look, brethren, you got to fast. Amen. And you got to fast before I get back here in a couple of weeks' time. You have to fast. The Lord is saying to these people, you cannot win unless you fast. See, fasting is like an atomic bomb compared to an ordinary shotgun. So you can understand what it is. It will blast the devil clean out of the saddle. It will give you a deliverance that you have not known before. You will speak in tongues freely and you will be free in the spirit and you will be delivered because God has set that to set you free. Amen. See, the devil holds you in the flesh and the flesh warreth against the spirit and the spirit warreth against the flesh. And if you begin to destroy that flesh, and to cry upon God in the Spirit rise up and will overcome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, stretch out your hand to truly. Oh, Lord God, just touch her right now. Kolamasata. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Loose. My God, lift her up. Hallelujah. And strengthen her now. Glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, we thank you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. Just pour your strength into her, dear Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just strengthen her. Strengthen her, Lord God, and heal her. Heal her now, Lord Jesus Christ. Heal her now. We thank you. We thank you for healing her now. Dear Jesus, loose. Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Jesus. Her bodies are the temple of the living God. For the Holy Ghost dwells in us, and He walks in us, and He talks in us, and He wants to flow out of us into the world to heal this old dying world around us. And we need to begin to just believe this, that God is cleansing the temple. And sometimes the reason why we do not receive the power and the glory that we see and we ask for is because we have some blockage inside. It's like you have a big thing fastened in your throat and you start to eat some very nice food and try to swallow. Mm-hmm. It's not going further than here. because your throat is stopped up. So God is saying that we need to release, hallelujah, the spirit, and find out what is wrong with you. When you find out what is wrong with you, you go to God with it and get down in fasting and prayer until God set you free.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise Him.
Yes. No human being can live without fasting because we are addicted to the flesh. Oh yes. I had all the glory of God. Jesus saved me. I had all the glory of God. I had all the power. The dead was being raised and miracles were occurring. Yet I had temptations in my flesh. Amen. And anybody who doesn't have temptations in your flesh, you're either lying or you don't know what we're talking about. Because as a human being, you have all sorts of temptations in the flesh. And to overcome, we must fast and pray.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen. There's no other route, no way around it. You got to cut down one and build up the other. Two men fighting. Which side you're going to be on? You get on the side of the spirit, the flesh is a loser.
Amen.
You get on the side of the flesh, the spirit can't win. Because you are the one who controls the battle.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let us go back upon that thought. Praise God. Michael and his angels fought. Now this shows a time period. God allowed little devils, the scriptures speak of little foxes that destroy the vine. God allowed little devils to occupy the human soul and body for a while. But what God is saying is that at a special time, He is going to set every one of you free. Just before Jesus comes, there must be a deliverance, a freedom, free, setting free. Now, I told you that I have brethren who can't help talking. They talk, they talk, they talk. That's one of the greatest crimes, because the devil knows everything about you. And if the devil wants to find out something, you thought that the devil knew everything? The devil doesn't know much. And worse than all, the scripture said, I alone search the heart, try the reins. No other creature knows your heart but you and your God. Isn't that marvelous? Only you and your God knows your heart. Because of this, God does not want you to talk out everything. Don't talk out everything about you. Don't talk your business. It's not necessary for me to know. Why tell me? You know what I'm saying? When you need help and when you need to say, just say what you have to say, but don't go any further. Secret things, not necessary to talk. Now, this therefore is a demon that occupies some people. A demon caused them to chat. A demon of inquisitiveness. A lying spirit. For when you chat, you must get into trouble. Now this spirit is a talebearer. Paul spoke about them as in the church as talebearers carrying news from one place to another. Amen. Keep away from that. And if you find that you have a problem, put it to Jesus. Fast and pray about it until you be delivered from the tail-bearing spirit. Hallelujah. Then you have a lying spirit that you see something, you hear something, and when you go to repeat it, it takes a different color. Have you ever noticed that among some people? But the greatest thing is to do to notice it with yourself. That you color everything that you pass through your machine. It comes out a horse of a different color. See? Now, that's a spirit you must work against. So anything you're doing and you don't want to do it, and you find you're doing it, it's a spirit. The smoking is an unclean spirit because it is an unclean habit. It messes up your inside, and it just makes you duller inside. You can't be as sharp as you should be because smoke has clogged you up like a chimney, black up all your lungs. I've seen them cut a smoker and he was black inside like the soot in the chimney. That's the way he was. And if you're smoking, God says it's an unclean habit, but something more than that. There's something spiritual about smoking. Smoking prevents you from thinking too much over anything. In other words, it becomes a comforter. A comforter. When I was smoking, one day the Lord came to me and said, "Why do you smoke?" I said, "I smoke because, it's comforting just to have a cigarette puffing." And the Lord said, "I am the comforter."
Amen.
That was as simple and as clear as ABC. I said, "God, take it from me. I don't want any other comforter but the Holy Ghost."
Amen.
I rejected it. It went that day. Since then, I've not had any more desire. Used to smoke like 2 packs of 20s a day, a cigar, and a pipe. See, when I do anything, I do it properly. Amen. I go all the way. You see, so the pipe stuck up in my coat pocket, cigar stuck one side, big Cuban cigar stuck one side, 2 packs. When the 2 packs were finished, I would turn on the pipe and on my cigar. Praise be to God. Now, therefore, a spirit motivates the smoking to get people to smoke. There are other spirits which we don't want to particularly mention. Spirits that occupy the emotions. Emotional spirits that... Somebody asked a question, can a man and his wife commit sin together, between themselves, as man and wife? Can there be sin? Oh yes, for sure. Oh yes, there are unnatural things which people are doing now that they have no right to do. God never arranged it that way. Oh, we had a sister in the church whose husband used to use her homosexually. Oh yes, and we had to get down on it. Yeah, because some of the brothers were ministering to her. Oh, it's all right. It's all right because a woman is supposed to submit to her husband. You're going to submit to a devil. Oh yes, the woman must submit to her husband in the Lord. Hallelujah. Because your husband is Jesus Christ, and if anybody wants you to commit sin, you should not commit sin. Anybody. We don't expect Christian wives are going to go rebel against their husbands in natural things. Like, you know, why don't you sweep the floor? Or why don't you cook the dinner? Or so on. So we don't expect that. So we don't even have to preach about that. Because we expect righteousness. But we are saying that there is sin in the camp. Sin that committed between people that should not be so at all. Unnatural things that people do that God had no such intention. See? And what is being done today in the world should not be done in the church. The church people shouldn't be, as a matter of fact, the Holy Ghost in you will quicken you and tell you. A lot of the people who are talking in tongues don't have the Holy Ghost, but we do, don't we? Mm-hmm. Praise be to God. When we talk in tongues, we have the Holy Ghost. That's why we talk in tongues. Mm-hmm. We don't talk in tongues to have the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Ghost to talk in tongues. Mm-hmm. Did you get me? So Some people say Babel Shabbat Rabba Rabba Rabba, and if you say it fast enough you get the Holy Ghost. You see, that's a lie. But we do know that when you have the Holy Ghost, you talk in tongues. So the Spirit of God will touch you when you start doing certain things. And you'll know, you'll feel condemned inside here. You'll know you're wrong. Therefore, these emotional devils that occupy people's emotions, you come to church, you cry, oh God, set me free, deliver me. And your God can't set you free, you can't be delivered. You go back and you're the same, you come back next day, till you finally accepted that, well, this is how it ought to be. It's a lie, the devil has overcome you. God's cleaning the temple, and this temple must be cleaned for Jesus Christ to come down in it. See what I'm saying? So let us turn our thoughts to God in everything. Let us turn our thoughts to God in our desires. Amen? What do you wish for most in life? What do you want? Number one, first fruits. God said, give me your first fruits. The Israelites had to give God their first fruits. Belongs to God. Your first child belongs to God. That was the law. Now we come to grace. What is the meaning of it? God is saying your number one desire should be to be filled with the Spirit of God, to be like Jesus Christ walking the earth. That's your number one desire before God. Your desire should not be anything else. You can have other desires, you know, like wanting a nice house. Like wanting a car that isn't going to break down on the road. No, things like that. But those things are only subsidiary to serving God. I want a good car because I don't want to break down when I'm going to service. I want to be able to do what God wants me to do with freedom. I want a nice place to live in because the very Spirit of God in me make me want to live in a clean, decent, nice place. Amen. And these are normal. Faith with God, if you were living in India, you'd probably have a nice hut. You know? Oh, yes. And a mosquito net, which is a luxury over there, and things like that. But praise be to God, as we come closer, hear me now, we come closer to Jesus Christ coming, descending in His church. One of these days, or one of these nights, when you go to bed, you'll wake up a new person. Because the trump of God shall sound, and the Spirit of God, Christ, Jesus will come at midnight. There is a cry, behold, the bridegroom coming. Can you imagine that we could go to bed tonight and that cry wake you up out of your sleep? And you find that the Christ, Jesus, has filled you with all His knowledge and His power. And you wake up now and come right out and lay hands on the sick and they recover and do the perfect will of God. Your 3.5 years ministry in Jesus Christ's time has begun. Now to think that one of these nights, one of these days, it's going to be, it's just a glorious thought. Because this is what God is saying to us right now. That we need to think about preparing this temple for God. If somebody is coming to your house, you clean up the place. As I say, you wouldn't put the pot in the living room. Pot is a good thing. We all have to heat out of pots. I mean, get the food cooked. But then the living room is not the place to have the pot. See what I mean? And so Jesus is saying that the things that are out of place in your lives, you need to think about them, take care of them, put them in order, and say, Jesus, is this what you like? Because He shall suddenly come to His temple. See, the angel of the covenant, in other words, the Jesus Christ, whom you seek for, whom you wait for, whom you watch for, what a calamity if He should come and you didn't even see Him. You see, what happened in Israel is that the Pharisees were the men who spent all their lives in the Bible. All day and night they were in the Bible searching. And they found out that it was about time for Jesus Christ to come. They knew it was the time for the Christ or the Messiah to come. And so everybody was looking around for the Messiah. But in looking around, they were looking carnally, because they had men watching the palace. Had men watching the palace because they believe, surely he's a king, he's going to come into the palace. Okay, when Jesus finally comes, they said, okay, we are going to believe that this is a Christ if he agrees with us to overthrow the Roman Empire. Amen. Okay, we are going to believe that now is the time when the Christians shall take over the world if you agree with Falwell. Not a sound? Did you hear what I say? Oh yeah. Don't you see? Don't you see that Falwell and the Pope are all gone political? Not just them, but they're hauling the whole thing political. One time the 700 Club got so political that I thought they were going to put up Robertson for president. That gone so political. He kind of pulled back. You notice one time he was going to whip up all of us to vote for the right man. But the story is that we are not looking that way for our deliverance. You read your Bible and tell me if any scripture tell you that deliverance will come from politics. Vote right and get the right man in the White House and we'll have deliverance. We'll have a glorious America. Who told you that Jesus wanted a glorious America? If we get any better, we're going to get very bad. It will be bad for us if we get any better. There's no other country like this country. I mean, I can tell because I travel around the world and I know other countries, and you don't have the kind of blessings anywhere else on earth. So when you leave America and go somewhere, you better make up your mind to take less. See, and praise be to God, we see Jesus Christ coming nearer. Okay, how near is he to you? Is he nearer to you tonight than he was last year this time?
Yes.
So you find some progress. But here is the question. Is he as near as he wants to be?
No.
There's a catch, you see. Because although we make progress, are we making progress according to God's order? Is this what God wants? Are we doing as much as he wants us to do? And I tell you what, let us begin to submit, and when you cannot submit anymore, fast and pray. Because when we talk about repentance, some devils are in, not some, but all devils that are in Christians because we want them there. Amen. There's no devil that can stay in you, or that can come in you, that you have not encouraged or brought in. Because they don't have the power to take anybody. Devils can't take anybody. And these are disembodied spirits that look for a body. They want a body to dwell in. These are not fallen angels. Fallen angels don't want a body to dwell in. Follow me? Now, because then these spirits want your body to dwell in, they lie to you, they trick you, they make you feel desires and wants that you don't really want. And then when you accept it, you accept them. As we were talking this morning, we said, the word came out, you buy one, you get one free. You go to buy so-and-so, and I saw on the menu yesterday somewhere, two eggs. Breakfast, two eggs. And I said, Two eggs or $2.95? Two eggs or $2.95? Something else must be here. So I asked the waitress, what goes with it? She said, hash browns and bacon and coffee and toast. I said, okay, two eggs then. You see, it goes with it. And there's sometimes a demon comes to you. He's not going to say, well, I'm a demon and I want to get into you, sister. No, nothing of the kind. You want this glass? Oh, isn't it pretty? Hey, isn't it beautiful? The moment you take the glass, you get all the trappings that go with it, which is a demon. See? So it's our desires that cause us to accept demons. We're going to have question time right away now. Just a few more minutes. It's our desires that cause us to accept demons. You don't want any demon. Nobody wants demon. But you want something else. And he gives you what you want, and it goes along with the demon. Bless you. Now you ask a few questions, and then we can close up. I don't want to kill you out. Next time I come, you won't come.
Can you explain the difference between oppression and possession?
Oppression is just oppression. I mean, I give you a hard time. I oppress you, oppress you, oppress you because I want to possess you. The devils oppress people because he wants to possess them. Give you a hard time, distress you, give you trouble. You know, have you ever been on a job and everything goes wrong? You're in your kitchen. Everything just goes wrong. You can't find this mixing spoon. You can't find this. You go, the bowl is cracked. You can't, you know, it's always. Well, these are the things they do. Create. They use other people sometimes to torment you in order to get you in a certain way, to get at you. Now, oppression, therefore, is from outside. A devil oppresses you from outside. And sometimes he gives you the feeling that he's inside of you. See? Hallelujah. All that is part of the tricks. But possession is when he takes charge and begin to motivate your thinking and your speech. Now, a Christian cannot be possessed by a devil. Because you're possessed by the Lord. You belong to the Lord. You cannot belong to the devil and belong to the Lord at the same time. So therefore, what we suffer is oppression. And he can oppress you in two ways, from without and from within. Oh, yes. You know, it was so clear here today, the lesson we had. Here was this sister that we were casting out this devil out of her. Many spirits came out of her. And in the midst of it, we asked one of the spirits, what is your name? And he got weak. After about 2 hours, he got weak. Everybody was weak, I suppose. And he said, I am Apollyon, and you cannot bind me. See? And immediately he said that. We said to her now, rebuke and reject Apollyon, and tell him you don't want. And she said, I rebuke you, Apollyon. I reject you. I don't want you. And she pleaded the blood of Jesus. And if she was possessed, you think he was going to allow her to say that? Oh no, she couldn't talk it out. She couldn't bring that word out of her mouth because she would be possessed. And that was the clearest proof that she's not possessed by those devils. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You get it now, right? That was the clearest proof. It was so many times, over and over and over, that she would say something would come out of her mouth that said, devil, speak through her mouth. And I mean, it just told the whole story. And then afterwards we speak to her and she was able to come back against it. Mm-hmm. But you see, sometimes it happens like that to you. Sometimes some things come out of your mouth. You didn't intend to say at all. It's not you. See, praise God. So it's different areas of the person's being that is held in captivity. And the devil doesn't even possess those areas. Because if he possessed those areas, he'd motivate all your feelings. But he can't. He can only bring an oppression in certain areas. And so, Christians do have demons sometimes, but we don't have to. You can cast them all out. You don't need to have any. Anytime you find something wrong with you, get down on it. Don't leave it alone. Because you hate devils. You don't want it. Praise God.
I'd just like to say something about that sister. On the way home, she had said that she realized that she opened the door by little white lines that she told her husband about where she was going, because he was opposed to her being involved as Christians. So she realized, you know, that, and she knew when she was telling the lies that it was wrong, but she just wanted to avoid arguments.
Yeah.
So now in the long run, she really...
Yeah, you see, she was delivered, and then she come back, and it's a back and forth thing. Mm-hmm. And so these spirits get stronger, you know. But I discern that there is something with the husband too that causes these spirits. But I didn't get a chance to minister to her, and she was too weak and tired anyhow, you know. But we hope to be back in a few weeks, God willing, and we will address the situation. But her battle is, she's winning her battle. You know, and you need to encourage her, to let her know she's winning her battle. You know, and this is something from way down yonder. It's not something just now. You know, she had submitted to these spirits, and then even now, they make her feel all right. You know, in something else that she's doing in her life. So therefore, she submits to them without even knowing. See. But it was a real lesson here today. Mm-hmm. Because Marie said she didn't understand this. And she had doubt in her heart. And God decided to give her a lesson right on the spot. Right on the spot.
So can you explain what a disembodied spirit is? And where they come from? And have they ever inhabited a living person?
Well, the key to where they are, who they are, is the word disembodied. Mm-hmm. You see, they had a body one time. Mm-hmm. Now, the Bible said, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. And he created the stars, the sun and the moon. And he created the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and the beasts. You see? And then he comes on down to verse 26 and he said, let us make man in our own image and in our likeness. And if you watch the things that God made, he made angels and he made men as a higher being. And you take Psalm number 8 and it says, and he made him a little lower than the angels, and crown him with glory. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. So the only place that demons could come from is either from angels or from men. Now we know demons don't come from angels, because the Bible said that the angels that kept not their first estate were cast down into the earth, and that they are here chained. They're not let loose. They can't do what they want. They have to go under certain rules. That's a chain. You see, they are here chained, but they never did have a body. They never had a physical body, so they wouldn't have any craving to be in a physical body. As a matter of fact, it's very dangerous for an angel to be in a physical body. Satan got into Judas. Mm-hmm. And if Jesus Christ had rebuked him, he would have bound him completely and finished him. And this is why Jesus was praying in the garden. He said, "Oh, Father, let this cup pass from me. Just let me loose. You know, let me loose." He would have called Satan in Judas and bind him in Judas and cast him into the lake of fire. And that would be the end of it. But then the church wouldn't come forth. We wouldn't get the experience. You see? And that was what God wanted. So he did not do that. But Satan exploded Judas. You ever hear of a man exploding like a bomb? Well, the Bible said that Judas exploded. Am I right or am I right? Oh, come on now, you Bible students. Did Judas explode? The Bible said he busted asunder.
One says the other one doesn't.
Yes, well, you see, one didn't bother to report that. you know your Bible, Sally. Hallelujah. Yes. So what happened is that Satan wanted to get out of him quickly. Because any of those apostles could have met him and rebuke him and bind him. And the easiest way out of Judas was to kill Judas. Get out. See, so fallen angels don't like to go into people, and Satan himself doesn't like to go into people yet. He has an appointment with some man, the false prophet, the beast, and the Antichrist. And the scripture said, "He shall go to his place and come again, the son of perdition, who was and is not and yet is to come." Who was and is and yet is not and is to come. See what I mean? And he shall go into his place and come. So it's the son of perdition. And by the way, the word perdition is the word Apollyon. The same word that our sister used today. And when you ask the name of the spirit, said, "I am Apollyon." You see? So the word Apollyon is the word in the Greek which is used for the destroyer. And it says it's the spirit of the Antichrist that was in Judas. Mm-hmm. You see, Jesus called him son of perdition, son of Apollyon. That's the word he used. And so the same spirit is bugging all of us, because that's the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of the age, the spirit that make the young people do the things they are doing. And that is the spirit of Apollyon. So I just say that to make you understand. No. So therefore, demons are human beings who live in certain sins, live in sins and die as sinners and go to hell. And the scripture says they go up and down seeking rest and what? Finding none. And they said, "Let me go back to my house." And they go back into the body, a few persons' body, and they take seven devils worse than themselves and said the last stage is worse than the first. So if you want to know what demons is, I'm sorry that I have to tell you the truth, that demons are human beings who reject God and they are walking up and down. What a horror story. So you see all those stories about Dracula and you know, the undead. It's not so far from what really is the truth. But to live in a world like that, it is more than hell. I mean, you know, these people talking about, "I'll die and go to hell," they don't know what hell is. Hell is a horror story. And I see it coming forth on the movies every day more and more. They're bringing out what hell really is. And the people of the world looking at it and enjoying it. I know some people who would never miss that midnight, what they call it? Night, twilight zone. Oh yeah. They wouldn't miss it. Because it is nothing but demon stories that you are seeing. The demons in hell, men are acting what happens in hell. Going to and fro, traveling into dry places, can't find any rest. said, let me go back to my house and go and possess somebody. See, Satan promised the demons that they would have an eternal possession, that they'd always have human beings around to possess. So what a thing when we really comfort in Jesus and kick the devil out of all the human beings. That is going to be a sad day for the devil. For they are hoping they're going to have us, you see. Have us breakfast, as lunch, and as dinner every day. Praise be to God. Yes.
I have a question. Maybe you can help me. When I've shared scripture with different people, the question comes back to me, well, how do you know it's the truth? Or how do you know it's real? Or how do you know that maybe God didn't make a mistake? And the only thing I can say is, well, it's either the truth or it isn't. I mean, and I don't know at this point what else to say. It's there in black and white, and either you believe it or you don't believe it. What else is left to say?
Well, the scriptures, once you begin to believe God, he said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. See? Now, if somebody says they don't believe, you know what I say to them? I say, all right, if you don't believe, let us put it to the test. Okay? I said, okay, I'm ready to test it. All right? You pray the sinner's prayer. Tell God you're a sinner. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and see what happened to you. That's the only way they're going to find out. Get him right down there. Ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, because I did not know what was the truth until I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins and to come into my heart. And then all of a sudden the light dawned inside of me. And he said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. There's no other proof. You cannot give anybody any other proof, because the proof is in the Spirit. And if they are out of the Spirit, they will never see it. But the sinner understandeth not the things of God, for it is spiritually discerned. The carnal mind cannot understand the things of God, for it is spiritually discerned. So if a carnal mind wants you to explain spiritual things to him, it's a no-no. You come. Let me show you. By actual practice. You kneel down, or you stand up, but you say after me, Jesus Christ, I am a sinner. I have committed sin number one, sin number two, sin number three. Let them confess their sin and say, Jesus Christ, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in your blood. Whew. When you touch the blood, every devil flies from here. That's the way to do it, sister. It's the only way to do it.
That man who was healed of blindness, when people wanted him to, they wanted to trap Jesus.
Yes.
And they asked him about his healing. He said, I don't know anything about him. One thing that I know is once I was blind
and now I can see.
And that told that there must be something great about this person. And they talk about the word. All I know is that one time this was a dead book, but now something has happened.
The book is alive.
And it is alive in me too.
Yeah. Okay, you know. You're dead and you come alive, and that's the proof.
Amen.
And if you don't believe me, come try it.
And some of those questions are asked only to trap.
To trap,
and
yeah.
Destroy. There are some questions which, you know, you have to say, well, as you said, you try it for yourself if you want to prove it.
Yeah, the girl that came from the devil worship camp over in San Francisco, she got what the question she asked. How is it that you don't, how do you know that the one you're calling God is not the devil, and the one you're calling the devil is not God?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the way they ask it. That's the way they learn it over there. The simple answer is, because God is good and the devil is bad. Mm-hmm. And the one I'm calling God is the good one.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. He's a good one. So anyone that is a bad one is the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Susan, whatever happened to the, you had a tape once, it wasn't too clear, but when you interviewed a man who was in a satanic, who was a Satanist priest, what happened to that gentleman?
Somebody saw him in Chicago, and his life is cleaned up, he's married, and living a kind of normal life, and he says, of course, the Satanists wouldn't trust him anymore. They couldn't trust him anymore because he had broken one of their chief laws. They sent him to destroy the church, and when he went into the church, the Lord knocked him down. and the spirit that he had with him was rebuked, and things like that. So he, they would never trust him again. But he's still alive. I mean, they wanted to kill him, but they weren't able to. Please?
For a while you hadn't heard. You didn't know what happened to him.
Yes, but Brother Dave saw him and talked with him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's really summer, isn't it?
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Jerry, just play a little song for us before we close. Praise the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for making the way. Thank you, Lord God, for this day. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for this day. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for this day. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for this day. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for this day. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for this day. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for this day. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for this day. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for this day. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for this day. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for this day. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for this day. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for this day. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for this day. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for this day. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for this day. We